conference.
Thank you, Maria Emanuele. I'll tell you about status of our high-power terahertz-free electron laser. The main idea, the main scheme of energy recovery is that where is the pointer? You first use the electron beam in some kind of user device like free electron laser or other device, and after that you decelerate this beam. And it is necessary not only to save the power of the spent electron beam, but also to reduce radiation hazard of the whole facility. And here you can see four turns, and it corresponds to what we plan to have in 2 years, but now we have only one turn. And the scheme of our installation is here, so you can see that first we have electron gun with voltage about 300 kilovolts. After that, we have bunching cavity, and we provide the klystron bunching of the bunches which going from the electron gun. And I didn't mention that we had gridded cathode in this gun, and the grid pulser provides one nanosecond pulse with the charge about 1 to 2 nanocoulombs. And after that, we compress these pulses and accelerate them to 2 MeV total energy. And after that, we inject these bunches to main accelerating structure. And after that, after acceleration to energy about 12 MeV, we use it in free electron laser. Free electron laser is here. After the use of electron beam, We turn it back to accelerating structure, and decelerated beam is going to the beam dump. And as the energy of the decelerated beam is also about 2 MeV, then the beam dump is very tiny, so the power is not so high there. Now, and this is the picture of this installation. What we can see here is the main accelerating structure. Free electron laser is on the floor here. And here you can see the end of optical resonator. And the main distinguished feature of our system is a low-frequency non-superconducting RF system. Why it's so we have such a system? Because from the beginning, when we began this work, we were aimed to very high power, actually, to some 100 kilowatts power. For such a high power, we need large average current. And if you estimate how to deal with large average current in superconducting RF, then it appears that it's much safely and certainly more convenient to have non-superconducting and long wavelength RF. So, and certainly to have CW operation to provide high average power. Now, and advantages are here, high threshold current for instabilities, operation with long electron bunches. And if you have long electron bunches, you have no problems, almost have no problems with wave fields, no problems with coherent synchrotron radiation. Also large longitudinal acceptance, longer wavelengths, larger longitudinal acceptance. And we have relaxed tolerances for the orbit length and the longitudinal dispersion, R56 in another words. You can see here a couple of our RF cavities. It's tanks, couple of tanks. They are made from stainless steel, and inside they are covered by copper. The iris diameter here is rather big. It's 100 millimeter, so it's very good for to suppress wake fields here. Now, and you can see here how our RF cavity looks inside. So as I told you, outside there is stainless steel and inside there is a polished copper. Main parameters of our cavity, you see that quality factor is 40,000. So it's rather high for such a system. Certainly it's not so high as in the case of superconducting cavity, but still, this high quality provide us reasonable voltage at not so high power consumption, and power consumption in our, say, normal operating mode, when we have about 700 volts per cavity, is about 50 kilowatts per one cavity. It means that we have to have more than 1 megawatt RF power to feed the whole accelerating system, but we just provide this power. And here you can see the scheme of our injector. This injector, 2MeV injector, was tested and it demonstrated about 40 milliamperes, 40 milliamperes. But routinely, we use about 10 milliampere average current, and we tested free electron laser operation with the current up to 20 milliampere, but not with 40 milliamperes yet. So parameters are here. Maximum repetition rate now is 22 megacycles, but I think in two years, we plan to increase this frequency to 90 megacycles. So our average current will increase correspondingly to more than 100 milliamperes. THP bunch is rather significant, 1.5 nanocoulombs in average. Now, and this is the photo of this injector. It's the same injector in Korea. I will skip some pictures. So it's overall parameters of our energy recovery system. And we have, for free electron laser, we have a couple of electromagnetic undulators with big gap, because we have the simple two-cavity optical resonator, two mirror, optical resonator, and as the wavelength is rather long, then we have to provide rather big gap for our undulator. Therefore, period is also rather big. It's 120 millimeters. So couple of undulators are here, this one and this one. And between there is three-pole wiggler which provide phasing of undulated radiation. Now, our optical resonator consists of two mirrors, one and another. One hole is 3.5 millimeter diameter, and another 8 millimeter. And we use this hole to provide radiation for users. Now, and as the hole is rather small, diffraction divergence is significant there. So here we use some kind of beam expander. The spherical mirror is here, so the light is going from the hole in the mirror of optical resonator this way, and this spherical mirror transforms the divergent light beam to almost parallel one, as it is shown here. Here you can see the sizes of the radiation beam versus the length along our beam line. So you can see that first the divergence is high, and after that we have almost parallel beam. And it's a rather simple and convenient scheme. Now, certainly we need to transport this radiation to users. We need to provide some, say, dry atmosphere, because absorption in water for such wavelengths, about 150 micron, is rather significant. It's about 40 centimeter length at which we have attenuation. So we have these tubes. We have these tubes, and inside these tubes is dried nitrogen. Here you can see experimental stations. Actually, here there are four stations, and we plan and we are building now two another stations. The radiation parameters are here, so wavelengths range which we achieved is for 120 micron to 230. Say, and minimum line width is Fourier transformed, so it's about 0.3%. The pulse duration is about 70 picosecond. It corresponds to our bunch length. And it's one of another advantage of long wavelengths RF, that we can have rather long bunch lengths. Correspondingly, we can have rather narrow line widths here. Average power is about 400 watts now. And when we will increase our average current, then we will correspondingly increase the average power. It's our region of our parameters here in the units of spectral flux. Spectral flux. And here the wave number. Oops. Now, and what we have to do now, we have to provide some equipment to deal with such a radiation. Even for visualization of this terahertz radiation, it's necessary to have something, say, special. But as we have enough power, we can use very simple way of visualization. We use such converter, and the converter is actually the carbon paper. And the temperature of this carbon paper depends on the intensity on the screen. So after that, we use a TV camera, which is sensitive to simple to infrared radiation, and then we can see such images. At the left, you can see the image of our beam. It's of such size, rather big. And also you can see the image of the transparent, of the metallic transparent holes in the metal. And the third one is such a, say, interesting picture. It's the key in the packet, paper packet, and inside the metallic key. So we can use it like X-rays. To see what is inside intransparent in transparent envelope. And it's pictures about, say, our power. We have enough power to make holes in plastics and to make a discharge. But more interesting and more important use of this is, for example, our biological applications. So it's the group of our biologists who make different experiments. And here, just a picture of ablation of the piece of stone, marble or granite, I don't remember. So they evaporated with this radiation. But certainly more important is such ablation of the biological molecule. And what is interesting, that as the energy of photons is very low, then during this ablation, they do not see the destruction of this big and fragile biological molecule. But moreover, the effect depends on the wavelengths. If they are at the resonance of some internal degrees of freedom of this long biological molecule, then they can destroy this. But if they are out of resonance, then this biological molecule even conserve their biological properties, like biological activity or something like this. And what we are doing now, we are preparing to maintain and to commission the second stage of our accelerator. What we have now is shown here, artistic view, I mean, and this accelerator is in vertical plane. And we have to add four turns here. So what we plan to have is this. It's four additional turns in the horizontal plane. And at the second track, there is one free electron laser at the bypass of the second track. And at the third track, there is also another free electron laser. So the second track free electron laser is planned to commission next year. And probably in 1 year later, we plan to commission the fourth track free electron laser. Then we will... It's another view. It's the top view of this system. So then, having these three free electron laser, we will cover the whole diapason from, say, 240 to 3 or 5 micron, and correspondingly will have possibility to satisfy many users. It's parameter of our full-scale free electron laser. Maximum power probably will be about 10 kilowatt. And it's the scheme how we want to provide the output from the fourth orbit free electron laser. It's electron outcoupling, and it's under development just now. So, conclusion. First stations are in operation, first user stations. Some optical experiments were performed. The work to increase the average power is continuing. And the manufacturing of the second stage of free electron laser is in progress. So, thank you.
The paper is now open for questions. Yes, Steve.
Nikolai, what's the longitudinal tune of both the existing device and the upgraded device? Now, how many synchrotron periods do you have in the system?
Synchrotron periods?
Right.
Well, how can we tell about one turn? We definitely have, I would say, phase motion. And we compress in the first arc, we compress the beam, and after that, after the use, we have some rotation. But, I would say, and we can change the slope at the RF, so change the longitudinal focusing. I would say. But typically, we optimize it to provide the maximum transparency or maximum current at the beam dump. Mm-hmm. I just mean that it is not this ideal case when we do this longitudinal gymnastics to compress the energy spread from free electron laser at the deceleration. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have to take care on the beam tails from the electron gun. By some reasons, we have longitudinal tails for the beam. So we have to gather these tails. And we adjust our phase, mm-hmm. our slope of the RF system. We have acceleration on the slope to provide, maximum current or minimum current loss.
So do you expect to use a similar scheme in the upgrade?
No. When we will have four turns, then this number of, say, synchrotron oscillations will be about one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, Mike, over there. Over there.
Will your present gun deliver 100 milliamps, and what is its maximum performance?
Maximum, sorry?
Your present gun, when you come to the upgrade,
yep.
It needs to deliver 100 milliamps?
Well, our present gun is capable to provide 40 milliamperes, but 40 milliamperes, I would say, with big energy spread, because we have now limitations in the rectifier. And what does it mean? It means that we have rectifier, and if we have high enough current, then we have big ripples in the voltage. So it means that this 40 milliamperes are with a rather big energy spread, correlated certainly, energy ripples. But 20 milliamperes is in operation more or less normally. So to provide 100 milliamperes, we have first to provide new grid pulsar, but also we have to change the rectifier to more powerful.
So the gun itself will cope with 100 milliamps?
The gun itself, without rectifier, I mean, just this piece of metal. yes, seems yes.
If there are not other questions, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.